own selves. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And just let me just take a moment on that thought. There's plenty of people that hears the Bible, okay? A lot of people sit in church. A lot of people sit and listen to it on the radio and on the internet or on television or whatever. And again, well, it just depends on what Bible they're coming out of, because the King James Bible is the Word of God. But if someone is preaching from the right book and they're teaching and someone is sitting there listening to it, hearing it will do you a little bit of good. But if you don't apply the Word of God that you hear, if you don't take what you, I mean, a lot of people, I think a lot of people sit there and they hear it, but they don't ever apply it to themselves. And we're good about, again, we're good about measuring others and saying, well, I know so-and-so over there, that's going to be hitting them right about now, because, boy, they need that. I know I'm guilty of that. I have sat in church as, not in the last few years, but as a young person, I remember sitting in church and the preacher would be preaching on something, and I'd think, well, somebody's getting it this morning, you know. I never did. I had a hard time looking at me and saying, boy, I needed that this morning. As I grew up and matured, I realized I needed it. And I try to stress to my children, don't wait until you're grown to think that God's word is for you, because it's for you now. God wants us to measure ourselves. Amen? I can tell you that if you went to my house today and you walked back into my laundry room, there on the wall next to the breaker box is a bunch of little marks on the edge of the wall. And I suspect most people have one of them in your home. Not everybody, but a lot of people, if you've raised children, they somewhere where they want to put back up to and say, see how tall I am. How many of y'all know anything about that? Anybody remember doing that? Okay. Well, in my house, there's marks all up. It's got names and dates and marks to gauge our growth. And that's what it's all about. There's even one for me. I'm going to see if they can get as tall as I am. And a lot of them are passing. JD's done passed me, you see. And I feel like Jackson's going to pass me, too. I don't know about Megan, but anyway, if she catches up to her feet, she will. But anyway, we want to check to see how far we've grown. It's fascinating with kids. When they think about it, oh, measure me, I want to see how tall I am. And understand something. God wants us to measure ourselves according to our spiritual growth, not just our physical growth. Our physical stature really doesn't make a whole lot of difference, because they've been great short men, they've been great tall men, they've been great skinny men, they've been great fat men. All those things, that's not really the important thing. That measurement, what really is important is the measure of a person on the inside spiritually, where you are in your growth with God. And that's really what I want us to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about some marks of spiritual maturity to see where we're at. And understand this morning, I'm not trying to preach this so that I make you feel like less of a believer. My intention is, as I preach this, is for God to show you the areas you need to grow in, so that you can turn to him and say, Father, I need to grow in that area of my life. Lord, I can see by looking at myself compared to the measuring stick, and the measuring stick is the Word of God. It's not somebody else. Really, truly, you know, when kids measure themselves, they're worried about, well, am I taller than him or am I taller than her? The truth of it is, it really doesn't matter. You're going to grow. You're only competing against yourself to get taller or whatever. And when we read the Word of God and when we study the Word of God, I'm not trying to be a better Christian than Thomas over here. I'm not in competition with him. And he's not in competition with me. The only person I'm in competition with is me. The only person he's in competition with is him. Amen. God has a growth pattern for all of us. And if we want to know, we need to go to the Word of God. I want you to know, you found that earlier, I guess. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. We're going to read that, and we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Father, before we pray, let's read. I said we'd read first. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us this morning, Lord, as we come to meet with you. Lord, we need you today. Father, the very best that I could do up here without you would be an absolute and total failure. And I know that. Lord, I come to you this morning. I ask you to cleanse me. Lord, I ask you to forgive my sin. Lord, I ask you to make me as clean as the snow, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, you'd fill every fiber of my being with the power of God. Lord, use me, Lord. I know that I'm not much, but Father, you can use me this morning, Lord, as you have time and time again. Put your hand upon me and Father, speak through me the words you'd have me to speak. Lord, help us, Lord, to examine ourselves by what the Bible teaches. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we'd come to the realization that we need to grow. We need to Lord, never get happy with being in one place. Lord, we should realize that the whole lifespan that you've granted us is a growth process. We're never to get stagnant. We're never to get satisfied. Lord, we're to long and yearn to be more of what a believer should be. Lord, that we're to be more Christ-like. Father, that we're to be, Lord, an ambassador for you. Father, I pray that you bring to my mind, Lord, all the things that, Lord, that I've thought on the last few days, Lord, and even the things that I haven't thought on yet. Lord, you bring it to my mind as you have me to preach it. Lord, I pray for each one that's here in the room this morning. Lord, I pray for these that are listening in on the internet. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, the word of God go forth in power and, Lord, and bring about effectual change in our lives. Lord, we need you. We can't do it without you. Lord, in these days that we live in, Lord, it gets tougher and tougher. Lord, give us more and more strength. We just praise you. We give you glory. Lord, you're an awesome God. And, Lord, you're able to do all things. And we just give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul, in addressing the church at Corinth here that we read, I want you to understand something. These are people that Paul went to the city of Corinth. Paul labored there. Paul worked there. He preached there. He taught there. He labored with those people, and he loved those people. And now he's gone away from them for a time, and he's heard things that have happened there. And it's breaking his heart because this church that he has invested himself in, that he's worked in and built up. You got to understand there were no believers there when he went, and he preached and he's established a church. He's put a pastor there. There are men in that church in leadership, and now he's hearing that things are going haywire down there. That this church is not functioning like a church ought to function. There's jealousy amongst the members. There's a lewd sexual behavior going on amongst some of the members. There's lawsuits going on amongst members. There's a spiritual show going on amongst some of them and trying to be better than one another. And it's just a mess going on in that church. And so that's why Paul writes this letter, and that's why he tells them that. He says, you know, I want to speak to you as mature spiritual believers. He said, but I can't. Because you're not mature spiritual believers. You're carnal. You're fleshly. You're doing things just like the lost Gentiles around you. He said, he said, you're like babes in Christ. And you're, in other words, you don't know anything. You don't understand how God wants believers to behave themselves. You don't understand how believers are supposed to, the attitude of believers. You don't understand the actions of believers. You don't understand the thought process of believers. These are things that you're not grasping, and so you're just like a newborn baby that doesn't know how to do anything. And he said, I fed you with milk. I wanted you to grow and get stronger. He said, and not with meat. I didn't give you tough things to understand. He said, because you weren't able to. You couldn't handle the harder things that you're going to be having to handle. He said, and you're still not. You haven't grown. So Paul is saying, if we put you up next to the wall, you're still where you started. And there's lots of people who are like that, folks. There are lots of people who are in that same shape. They've been saved, but they've never grown. They never, you know, can I tell you something? Physically, you can't help but grow. I mean, it doesn't take much. You just put food in your mouth. That's all. That's pretty much it. You go to sleep, you wake up. I mean, you're going to grow. That's what our bodies do. But can I tell you something? There are plenty in this world. There are plenty of people who are full grown, tall, but they're mentally, they're not full grown at all. We call those people mentally handicapped. We used to call them retarded, mentally retarded. It doesn't mean that they're bad people. It just means that they did not develop. Their mind did not develop. And a lot of people who are full grown physically, and they may actually even be full grown mentally, but their spirit has not developed. And it's because, and listen, again, all you got to do to develop physically is just simply eat and live. But in order to grow and mature spiritually, you have to purposefully plan to read and to apply, to read and to apply, to read and to apply. And that's why in James he said, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're deceiving yourself. You're thinking, oh, well, I hear the Bible, I go to church, I hear it. But if you don't take it and do something with it in your life, then you might as well not even be hearing it because it's not going to do you any good. So let's look at the Word of God this morning. I got 3 points. I'll try not to be too long this morning. But the first one is this. Mature Christians are humble in spirit. The attitude of a Christian should be of humility. It shouldn't be haughtiness. It shouldn't be pride. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Actually, we can start there in verse 1. I think it'd be a good place. Romans chapter 12, in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and through 3. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. We know what transformed means. It means completely changed. Something different than you were before. Completely transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. There's so much there in verse 3. So much there. He says, first of all, you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Listen, can I tell you something? There ain't nobody in this world that's any better than anybody else. Amen? I don't care. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. It doesn't make you any better than somebody else. It doesn't matter what kind of vehicle you're driving. That doesn't make you any better. What neighborhood you live in. What kind of clothes you wear. The way you speak. It doesn't make you any better than anybody else. You may have come from a great family, or you may have come from nothing. It doesn't make any difference. Those things do not determine your worth. They don't determine your value. It doesn't make a difference if you're born white, if you're born black, if you're born Indian. It does not make any difference. You're born Mexican, you're born Asian, you're born Eskimo. It doesn't make any difference. Your race, that doesn't make you any different. God did that. You had absolutely nothing to do with it. Amen? That's one thing Spurgeon used to say. There's some things we should never brag on. And one of them's race, one of them's grace, the other one's place. I can't remember all of them. But we ought not ever get the feeling that we're any better than anybody else. Doesn't make no difference whether you're male or female. Still, hey, none of us any better than the other. Doesn't matter anything about it. You say, well, some people's got a checkered past. Still, it doesn't make a difference where you came from. The Bible says we ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Praise God, He made us all out of the dust of the ground. There ain't a one of us that if you don't take a bath won't stink. I can promise you that. Amen. The best you try, this old body is dying. This old body is sloughing off skin. This old body secretes oil, and it will stink after a while. There's nothing about us that's that fancy. Amen. So therefore, we ought not think of ourselves any better than anybody else. Mature Christians understand that. Amen? A mature Christian realizes, listen, I don't have a reason to boast myself. I don't have a reason to elevate myself above anybody else. God says, listen, if you want to be elevated, humble yourself. And God will lift you up. Amen? He'll lift you up. If you want to elevate yourself and show up and say, look at me, look how good I am, God is more than obliged to bring you down. Amen? So mature Christians are humble in spirit. They want to please God, and therefore they don't elevate themselves to some position that they don't deserve. A mature Christian is to be humble. That means we ought to be considerate. Amen. Y'all pray for me. I want to be more considerate than I am. In preaching this, I get very convicted. Amen. And the reason I get convicted is because I look in the mirror at me. And when I look in the mirror at me, I see that I'm just as rotten as everybody else. Amen. I have the same problems everybody else does. And you know, it's hard as a preacher to preach the truth and see you're not in line with it. Amen? But it doesn't make a difference whether I'm in line with everything that I'm preaching. I need to get in line with it. Amen? We ought to be more considerate of other people. You say, well, why does that matter so much? Because the Lord's watching it all. Amen? There ain't a time that you spend doing anything that God is not watching what you're doing. There ain't a word that comes out of your mouth. The Bible says we're going to be held in account for every idle word that we speak. I mean, listen, that scares the living daylights out of me. That God's going to hold me accountable for every word that comes out of my mouth, because I know there's been some words come out of my mouth I don't want to ever hear again. Amen. But you know what, Brother Thomas? God says He's going to hold me accountable for it. So you know what that means? That means from here on out, I better watch what I say. I can't do a thing about what I said yesterday, the day before, or the day before that. But what I can do is right now realize, looking into that mirror and seeing, looking into that, and beholding my natural face in the glass, looking into the mirror of the Word of God and seeing what manner of man I am, it ought to make me want to take more care that I watch the things that come out of my mouth, that I watch the attitude that I put out to other people. Why? Not because of them, but because of God. Amen. We ought to be considerate of other people. Mature Christians are humble in spirit. That means we ought not take advantage of other people. One of the worst things in the world, again, is to think that you're better than somebody else. And when you have the attitude that you're better than somebody else, then what automatically comes along with that is the feeling that it's okay if I run over somebody else because they're beneath me. That's what leads people to do that. That's what leads people to take advantage of others, is because you feel you're superior to other people. But I want you to understand something. In this world we're living in, there is a big push for that. And especially with, and I hate to get into politics, but everybody knows who Bernie Sanders is at this point. And he wants everybody to feel the burn. And somebody asked me yesterday, did you go to the Bernie Sanders rally? I didn't know there was one. I said, well, I'm not really feeling the burn. So, but under his presidency, he feels like You have somebody over here that's got a whole lot more. We need to take from them and give to those who don't have as much. Well, that's socialism, and that's not God's way of doing things. God never says, go to those who have more and take from them and give to those who have less. If you remember, the woman brought in the alabaster box, and she broke it over Jesus' head, and Judas got mad, and he said, hey, that could have been sold for 300 pennyworth and given to the poor. And Jesus said, the poor you always have with me, you'll not always have with you. Just because somebody has more than you have doesn't mean they have less responsibility than you have. Amen? You know, God has a plan. God has a way of doing what he does. God's way is perfect. And there's always going to be those who have more than you, and there's always going to be those who have less than you. And it just could be that God is trusting them with more because they're more responsible. It could be that God has put them there with more because he knows they're going to use what they have for his glory. It could be that someone has less because God is testing them and trying them to prove them, to show that they'll trust him in the hard times. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying we ought not have this attitude of just because you got more, you think you're better than me, or just because I got less, you think I'm worth less than you. Listen, we should never base what we do and how we do things on those kind of circumstances. We ought not base how we treat people on those kind of circumstances. Mature believers understand that we're all on level footing. You understand what I'm saying? This world's not about the haves and the have-nots. That's the way the world thinks. That's not how believers are to think. Listen, we're all in this together. God wants us to lift one another up. God wants us to pray for one another. God wants us to help one another, not to think of ourselves as being something that we're not. We're to be considerate of other people. We're to be humble in spirit. That means, listen, we ought not hurt other people to get what we want. Being Christ-like is full of sacrifice. Amen? Being Christ-like is full of sacrifice. It's not full of abusing other people. A humble life is one of putting others first. There's only two kinds of people in this life. You realize that. There's the here I am person, and there's the there you are person. There's givers and there's takers. That's the only two kind of people there truly are in this world. What kind are you? Are you a giver or are you a taker? You understand? As a believer, we ought to be givers. Christ was a giver. Matter of fact, Christ didn't take anything. He said, hey, the birds have nests, foxes have holes, but Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was not one who was out for himself. He was his whole ministry, his whole life, his whole point of coming to this world was for others. And we're to be Christ-like. Therefore, we're not to run over anybody to get what we want. God, do you know to run over somebody else to get what you want is to insult God and say, you're not able to give that to me, so I have to do this? Remember that God knows the things you have need of. That's what the Bible tells us. He knows the things you have need of. And what does the Bible say? You have not because you ask not. If we would humble ourselves and we would serve God from a position of humility, saying, Lord, you've got my life in your hands. You've planned this. You've ordered my steps. Lord, you've told me not to turn to the right hand or to the left, but we're to keep our eyes on Jesus and walk the straight and narrow path. Lord, you've got this in your hands, so I don't need to take matters into my hands in order to make sure that I turn out okay. God, you are watching me and you're guiding me, and if I'll follow your word, Lord, you're going to put me where you want me and you're going to use me how you want to use me, and my life will bring you glory if I do it your way. If I try to take it into my hands and do it my way, I'm going to bring me glory. No, what I'm probably going to do is I'm going to bring myself shame because I'm going to fail, because God's way is perfect and my way is wrong. Number two, mature Christians think like Christians. I'm going to take you back to Romans 12:2. We just read it a while ago. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This world is doing its best to conform you. Everywhere you turn, you're being conformed. But the Bible says we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do we do that? How is our mind transformed? How is our mind renewed? You have got to go back daily to the one who made your mind. You've got to go back to the one who's able to give you wisdom in your mind and get rebooted every day. Amen? You've got to go back to the source of the wisdom of God and reprogram your brain every day with this book. This book, the Bible says, talks about the washing of the water by the word. We all know the term brainwashing. God says we need to do a little brainwashing. We need to be brainwashed every day, Miss Taylor. He wants to brainwash you every day. You know what he wants to do? He wants to wash out the garbage the world has put in your brain. He wants to disqualify Satan's claims every day that you live and cast those imaginations down and everything, every thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. He wants to tear it down and throw it down. And he'll do that. Amen. Mature Christians think like Christians. They don't think like this world. Amen. Your mind, folks, your mind is a battlefield. There is a war going on. I know somebody's got a website out there and that's his slogan. There's a war going on for your mind. But it's true. It's absolutely true. Satan, if he can get control of your thought life, if he can get control, listen to me, children, if Satan can get a hold of your imagination, and that's what he wants to do with all the fantasy movies that are out there, all the fantasy cartoons that are out there, all the fantasy games that are out there, he wants to get control of your mind. He wants you to think on evil. He wants you to play with evil. I'm telling you, when I was growing up, about the most evil thing that you could find to play with was a Ouija board. Well, I fooled with one time and I'd never touch it again, I can tell you that. And I wish I'd never done it that one time. But I remember growing up, we had magic eight balls and we had stuff like it. It still was wrong. Amen. And we can look at it now, so it was just some little novelty thing. It was still witchcraft, whether we want to admit it or not. But that was about the worst thing that came at us. We might have Scooby-Doo and things of that nature, but it wasn't like it is today. Today, it's comparable to World War III. I mean, it's everywhere you turn. Your mind is being pummeled by this world. It's ideology. It's I was watching a television commercial just the other day. And they were playing a version of an old song by the rock group Queen. And this woman was singing it real slow. And singing it slower, the meaning was even deeper. It was a Coca-Cola commercial is what it was. And she's singing, "I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now." Now, what is that saying? What is the message behind that? I deserve everything. I deserve whatever I want. I can do what I want to. It's my life. I deserve everything. I want it all, and I want it now. That's the way the world lives. That's the functioning mind of the world. That's the way the world thinks. The world says, "I want everything. I want anything. I want to do whatever I want." And God says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God." You know, there's a whole difference between those two ideas. Submitting yourself to God and saying, "I want to do what I want." It's the opposite. And Satan is trying his best to persuade you to believe that you can say, "I want what I want, and I want it now. Give me what I want." Folks, that's not how God functions. We're talking about the mind of carnality, the carnal mind. That's what Paul, remember, believers can live like that. That's what Paul said to the church at Corinth, didn't he? He said, "I couldn't speak to you as on the spiritual, but as on the carnal, you're babes." The mind of carnality is what Satan wants everyone else to have. He wants us to think just like everybody else. He wants us to accept what everybody else is doing. He wants us to believe whatever we're told. He wants us to take truth from the television set. He wants us to accept truth from out of politicians' mouths. He wants us to accept truth from the grocery store garbage stand there where they tell you all the garbage that's going on amongst Hollywood and all the filth from all the cosmopolitans and everything else. He wants you to accept that as truth. The mind of carnality versus the mind of Christ. That's the battle that goes on. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God tells us the kind of thoughts we're to have. We're to think on the things of God. We're to study the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to pattern ourselves after Him, not after this world. And I know that's hard because you know what? That makes you out to be some kind of a weirdo, doesn't it? You're odd. You don't think like everybody else. You're strange. Yeah. But that's the way you get treated when you think with the mind of Christ. And it's hard to stand up for Jesus in a world of everybody that wants to sit down. But folks, I'm here to tell you, I'd rather stand with Jesus. I'd rather stand with Jesus and have the world call me a fool than to stand with the world and have God call me a fool. Mature Christians think like Christians. He says that you may be transformed. That means changed from not like this old vile world, not like everybody else around you, but transformed, changed, like that caterpillar when that cocoon surrounds it and it comes out a butterfly. It's something different than it was before. God says you are different. Listen, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're not what we were. Therefore, we're not to be what we were. We're not to act like we did. We're to act different. We need to measure ourselves and say, is my thought life really different than it used to be? That doesn't mean you're not saved. That just means you're ignoring what God has said to you. Listen, a saved person can live like a lost person. Miserable, but he can live in that condition. Not for long, amen, or God's going to make him more miserable and more miserable and more miserable. I got to keep going. I said we had your mind being a battlefield. There's the mind of carnality versus the mind of Christ. There's the good news versus the ever worsening news. What do you turn to? I quit watching the TV news. I just can't watch it anymore. People sit and watch that stuff, it just makes them sad. People sit and watch that stuff, it just makes them depressed. I stared into the eyes of the devil for a long time trying to figure out what his next move was. I looked at this old world. I studied the news. I tried to figure it out. What's going to happen next? You know what I finally figured out? I just need to ignore all that and trust God because it ain't going to help me. I'm not going to grow if I'm sitting and staring and worrying about all the junk that's being thrown at me. All it's going to do is depress me and make me sad and make me want to give up. God wants us to look into the good news. I'm going to tell you something. There's mercy in the Lord. There's help in the Lord. There's grace with the Lord. God has everything we need. I'm going to tell you, Paul was able to be joyful even though he was in the Mamertine prison. Amen. Paul was able to be joyful though he was chained up in Caesar's palace. Paul was able to be joyful even though he was standing there in rags and chains. Listen, don't tell me it's so bad that we can't find joy. I'm going to tell you something. There's joy in the Lord no matter what condition you're in. We look back through history, we find a whole lot of people who had a whole lot worse life than you and I have. I mean, had deplorable conditions that they lived in. Lived under threat of execution at all times, and yet they had more joy than you and I have. It all depends on our thought process. Now, that's why the Lord tells us whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are, I can't remember them all. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He's told us there are some good things that we ought to think on, and those are the good things of God. Meditate on those. Spend our thought time focusing on what God can do and less on what's going on around us, because what's going on around us only affects this body. He's why he says, fear not those who can kill the body, but after that they can't do anything else. Fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's the one we're to fear, is God, not this world. Our thinking shouldn't be ruled by this world. Mature Christians think like Christians. There's the television versus get on your knees and tell the Savior. Listen, a lot of people just want to sit down and numb themselves. They got a lot on your mind. Too much trouble around you. Got troubles in your family. Got troubles on your job. Got troubles with your friends. Got troubles with your bank account. Got troubles with your health. Got troubles, troubles, troubles. And rather than going to God, hitting your knees and telling Him all about it, we'll plop down and hit the power button and sit there and numb our minds for hours. And guess what's happening? You're distracting yourself. You're distracting yourself and it doesn't go away. Your problems don't go away until you take them to the Lord and lay them there and leave them there. What's happening? We sit down, we turn on that idiot box, and we're being programmed. That's, you know, there's a reason why I call it television programming. You ever thought about that? Television programs. We're going to program you to think like we want you to think. They program you to think a certain way. The world does. And guess what? That way conflicts with the way of Jesus Christ. Amen. So our minds are being poisoned if we're not growing up. If we don't grow up, we're going to have a poisoned mind. You understand that? If we don't come up above that and say, "Hey, I'm being stupid. I'm acting like a simple child who doesn't know how to get away from danger. I need to realize that this is poisoning me. I can't sit and watch these sitcoms that talk filthy and mock God and expect to grow spiritually." Listen, folks, they're mocking God everywhere. I saw a commercial where supposedly Moses standing there and it's a godsend. And little thunders. I mean, they're mocking God. Everywhere we turn, though, everywhere we turn, we're confronted by social media. We're confronted by radio. We're confronted by TV. We're confronted by newspapers. We're confronted by magazines, which tell us everything but the truth. And they push the truth further and further and further and further back in our thinking. And what does it do? It makes us spiritual babies. And we have nobody to blame but ourselves. Because we control the eye gate and we control the ear gate. We control what comes in. And if we don't control what comes in, we can't control what goes out. Amen? But listen to me, if we turn that over, we turn our thinking over to God, and we say, "Lord, you help me to meditate. You help me to understand. You teach me, Lord. Teach me the truth. Help me to understand it and grasp it and apply it and see where I fit into that." God will elevate our thinking to where we don't automatically go to the things of this world, but we go to the things of God, and we have answers for the problems that we face so that we're able to make mature decisions so that we don't wind up where we've always wound up. If we will walk in a humble fashion, realizing we're no better than anybody else, that God has made us and He directs us and He's the one who's to guide us through this life, we won't have the problems that we'd have with a haughty spirit, which God has to knock us down time and time and time again and scrub us in the dirt so we get up and realize we're nothing. Amen. God wants us to mature. God wants us to walk like He walked on this earth. And number three, last one. Oh, by the way, as far as the thinking goes, what we need to think about is reading our Bible more often than we do. Amen. We ought to think about reading our Bible. And not just think about it, we need to get to it. Because it'll change your thinking. Amen. You know what He said in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12? He said that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The more I know God, the more I get closer to being in His perfect will. Listen, we'll just start off here. Hey, God, I just want to be acceptable to you. I just want to do good and please you. But you know what? As I get in that frame of mind and as I walk with the mind of Christ, I get closer to being in His perfect will for my life. It's something you have to set out to do on purpose. You can't, it's not going to happen to you by accident. You don't graduate from school by accident, do you? You got to work. You got to plan. Why would we think that? Why would we think that going to school and getting a high school diploma was more important than growing up as a Christian? But yet we spend 12 years of concentrated study on to get a piece of paper that may or may not help us throughout life. And yet we spend very little time focused on the Word of God, which will help us throughout our life. It just goes to show us where we're at. If we'll measure ourselves, we'll see. Amen. Number three, we're almost done. Mature Christians act like Christians. 1 Corinthians 3:3, we were there a while ago. It says, "For ye are yet carnal. For where is there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are ye not carnal and walk as men?" You see, this is the church. This was a church of people. And they were all jealous of each other. As you read through the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll come across several instances where they were boasting, where they were trying to be more out-spiritual each other. Just a whole lot of, "I'm better than you. I'm better than you are. No, I'm better than you are. I'm better than you are." There's a whole lot of that going on in that church. And God said there was a whole lot of strife because of it. When you go around with the attitude that you're better than somebody else, you get offended very easily. And when people get offended very easily, they argue very easily. And the argument leads to fighting, and fighting leads to separations and bitterness and malice and all those kinds of ugly things. And God was addressing this church through the Apostle Paul. He said, "Y'all are full of envy, you're full of strife and division." And then people start getting off into groups and say, "Well, our group's better than your group." And pretty soon you don't have a church. You have a war going on. He said, "Are you not carnal?" That's not the way God functions. That's the way men function. Y'all are running a church like a bunch of human beings, not like a bunch of Christians. You see, there's some things we need to think about as far as acting like Christians. Number one, listen here, mature Christians still sin. Amen? We all sin. We're all going to fall down. We're all going to fail. We're all going to come short. There's no doubt about it. You got up today, set out to do right, but before this day's over, you'll blow it somehow. Every one of us do. Mature Christians sin, but here's the thing. Mature Christians don't act like Paul described. Mature Christians do not go about it trying to get ahead of somebody else, trying to get an advantage of somebody else, trying to take advantage of somebody else. No. Mature Christians sin, but the thing of it is, mature Christians seek forgiveness in a timely manner. One of the most dangerous things you can do is to sit down and quit because of your sin. "Well, I blew it, so that's it. I'm done. I've gone as far as I want to go. I'm done. You may not say it out loud. You may not say it to anybody else. But in your heart, that's what you say when you blow it. Listen to me. When you fail God and you failed Him the same way before over and over and over, a lot of times we'll just sit down. Why? Because we feel ashamed. And we don't want to go back to God and say, "Lord, I blew it again." And because of that, a lot of people give up and they don't go forward. What a mature Christian will do is realize that they're never going to get above this sinful body. They're never going to get to where they ever can escape sin totally on this earth. There's no way. You're always going to... Listen, the devil, he's always watching for your weak point. Listen, you may get strong in one area, but you're going to neglect, because you're human, because you forget. You're going to neglect something else. "I'm strengthening this, and I'm strengthening this, and I'm strengthening this, but you forgot this, and this is the weak area." And the devil, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he sees your weak point, and that's where he attacks you. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. We know how he comes at us, but yet still we get tripped up and we fall down. What matters is what you do immediately after that. Do you sit and say, "Well, I'm ashamed, go to God, and I'm just going to, I don't know if I can go to him." And then time passes and time passes and time passes. And while that time's passing, you miss God's blessing. Other relationships break down in your life. It ends up tearing up things everywhere. What a mature believer does is goes to God immediately and says, Lord, I know that there's nothing in me that's any good. It's only you. And I have sinned again and I've failed you again. And Father, I confess it and I admit it and I want you to forgive me because I know I've got work I need to do for you and I haven't got time to sit down here and feel sorry for myself and blame other people for my wrong. Lord, I know it was me and I admit it and I confess it and I forsake it. And Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to take you by the hand. I want to keep going. That's how mature believers deal with it. That's not sweeping it under the rug. Listen to me. There's nothing you can do with your sin but take it to God. That's all you can do. So to do anything else with it's wrong. We ought to go right to him immediately and say, he knew you did it anyway. There's no hiding it from him. So go to him and confess it and get it over with and get up and keep walking. Seek forgiveness in a timely manner. Why is that possible? I mean, why is that necessary? Because mature Christians want God's approval. Amen. I can tell you this. I don't know of a child who doesn't want their parents' approval. I mean, now maybe when they get grown, they think they know everything. But when they're a child, when they're still young and still teachable, they want their parents' approval. They don't want their mom and dad mad at them. A child doesn't want that. Listen, if there's strife and hostility in the house, a child doesn't enjoy that. They want things to be right. They want things to be good again. Listen, as a child of God, don't you want the same? A mature Christian ought to go to God immediately and get it out of the way and get it confessed and forsaken and so the slate is clean, so there's opportunity for good things and blessings. Not this dread hanging over us. Mature Christians seek to please the Lord. That ought to be the most important thing in your life. You see, you don't know that when you're not thinking like that. When we're not spending time in the Word of God, and it's not washing us. When we think we're more important than everybody else, we don't think like this. But as we grow, as we mature, as we take God's Word and apply it to our life, it's like building blocks that we're putting together, as we do that, we understand. You grow up, you mature, you realize, listen, pleasing God's more important than pleasing me. Pleasing God's more important than pleasing you. Listen, I would rather God be pleased with me and the whole world angry with me than to have the whole world love me and God be angry with me. I want to please him. That's the most important thing in my life. And the last thought on this, and we're going to the house. Again, mature Christians act like Christians. Mature Christians are never satisfied with their service. Never satisfied. When you mature, here's what'll happen. You'll realize how much time you wasted. You'll realize all the time that you let go by. When you finally get to that point where you see things clearly, not that you'll ever reach full maturity because we won't in this lifetime, but as we grow more closer to what God wants us to be, we look back and we say, I sure did waste a lot of time, God. I sure didn't listen to you a lot when I should have. And Lord, I want to do more. I want to press forward. I want to bring some fruit with me when I face you, Lord. I want to have something to cast at your feet. Lord, I want you to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to get there and be ashamed, Lord. I want you to be pleased with my life. You'll never be satisfied with what you've done. You'll never sit there smugly and fold your arms and say, well, I've had a good Christian life. You'll never do that. You'll say, I wish I'd have been more for God. Oh, I wish I'd have done more. He deserved it. He deserved better than my best. Oh, God, let us put ourselves against the wall and let's see where we're at. You know, I think the Holy Ghost of God's probably already put the book over our head and drew the line. And I think we probably can already see where we're at. But oh, if we hadn't, go to God today. Say, Lord, please show me. Please show me that I need to grow. Please stir it in me. Please convict me. Please draw me in the direction I need to go. And Lord, please remove immaturity from me. Please remove immaturity. Please, Lord, don't let me get proud. Don't ever let me think that I'm somebody I'm not. Don't ever let me get that feeling over me that I'm superior to somebody. Lord, help me to stay humble. Help me to stay usable, workable, changeable, malleable. Lord, make me putty in your hands, clay in your hands that you can mold into what you want. Lord, please help me. Help me in my thinking. Help me in my thinking. Help me, to have enough sense to get away from things that deteriorate my mind and deteriorate me and my thinking, so that I don't want those things to drag me down. I don't want those things to stop me in my life. I don't want those things to make me want to give up. Lord, please help me to think on the things of God, and not only just think on them, but meditate, study, and learn. And Lord, please help me to act accordingly. Help me to act in such a manner that brings glory to you. Please, Lord, help me. That's our attitude. That's what we should be. Amen? Let's stand together. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you today. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father, for the truth. Lord, help us as we walk through this world in this day and time that we live in to be mature. Lord, show us the areas of growth that we need the areas we need to grow in, Lord. I just pray, Father, that, Lord, you just convict us. Just show us, Father. Lord God, we love you. We need you in everything that we do. We'll fail without you. Please, Lord, bless the invitation this morning. Lord, if somebody here needs to come and do business with you, Lord, this altar's open. I pray, Father, they'd come. Lord, and lay it on your throne. Lay it in front of your altar, Lord. Just pour themselves out before you. Please, Lord, work on us. Please be diligent. And Lord, make us into what you want us to be. We thank you, Father, for your word. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.